feel the shadows deepen. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Isn't good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Does His Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah forever those He loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he is made.
Have a seat. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone who is here in person with us. Welcome to those who are on our social media platforms on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. Do all those things, especially comment. That helps to get the word out in their algorithms even more. And want to welcome those who are listening on our phone live streaming. We have that service that's available. It's a toll-free call. Anybody can sign up for that. It'll automatically call you when our service goes live. So if you know someone who doesn't do the internet, who would like that, please see us after the service. We'll be glad to give that number to you. If you came in this morning through the doors, you should have seen that you could get a bulletin there. But if you didn't, you can also go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletins. You can still get these at the doors. We have the children's worship bulletins. Kids, there's one for ages 7 and up and one for ages 3 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. They're also under that info tab. And then also, we have the prayer list that's under that info tab. Encourage you to download that, pray through that list. These paper copies are in the holder on the table right across from the office there. So just wanted to remind you of those things. Want to welcome everybody who's here this morning, especially if you're one of our first-time guests. We have a bag over here. We've got some at the doors. Want to make sure you grab one of those as one of our guests. If you brought a guest, please make sure they get one. It's got some information about our church in it. It's got some gifts that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So be sure to grab one of those. Welcome this morning. Looking forward to a wonderful time of worship. So Brother Mike, come and lead us in our name.
Good morning, all. Stand and praise the Lord through song. Let's sing 564, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. 564. Miss Pat?
Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel.
You'll notice in your bulletins we are at our Missionary of the Moment time. You'll notice your Missionary of the Week is in your bulletins there. It is Tyler and Ashley Martin, who are serving in Barnum, Wyoming. Pastor Matt knows him, went to school with him, and so if you want to know more about him, you can ask him. But his story and what they are doing there is shared here as they're seeking to plant churches all across Wyoming, many places there that are in need of the gospel. So I want to encourage you to remember them in prayer. Encourage you to also remember our missionaries in Moldova in your prayers. You'll see the request right below that also. But also, we've been emphasizing our Annie Armstrong Easter Offering Week of Prayer this week. We are on day 8 in the guides. If you have your guides, that's where we're at today. But we're going to be sharing one of our missionary stories of what God is doing through our missionary. So it's not there. I'll come up and find it in a minute because it's there somewhere. Okay. All right. So we'll share that in a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then for our missionaries. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for your Spirit being upon us. Lord, we thank you for your presence being here. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be with our missionaries, especially the Martins, as well as our missionaries in Moldova. We pray, God, that your blessings will be upon them. Lord, be with us as you continue to lead us and to guide us in our hearts about giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. Father, I pray that you would lay upon our hearts a special burden, a special blessing about doing that. And Father, I pray that your will be done in our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that you'll bless each one of those missionaries serving across North America. And Father, we pray that this offering that we're gathering over this next month will go to further the kingdom of God in sharing the gospel with them, with people across this nation and across Canada and the rest of North America. So bless us this morning as we come to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just share with you, are the announcements there? Pull that up here. You've got some announcements that we do have in your bulletins, and so just want to make sure. If you'll hit the up left and sync, you'll have it. That's what we didn't do. You'll have there, let me get back to this part. Your offerings, you can do that online. Go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to the far right hand side. You can do your online giving there, regular offering. You can do your Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We have started our new Bible reading plan with the YouVersion Bible app. It's the 40-day devotional for Hoosier One. So I want to encourage you, jump in that anytime you want. You don't have to have started it already. You can do that. We'll have it up for the next 2 months, for March and April. And so I want to encourage you to take the time to do that and get that, get started on that. It's a great Bible study there, and we'll remind you also to do what we're doing with the Bless app. If you have not signed up with the Bless app, you'll notice that is in your bulletin also. There is a QR code here in your bulletins that you can scan with your phones. We are encouraging you to pray for your neighbors, to be a blessing to your neighbors, and that's one of the ways that you can do that. It starts with prayer to seek to win them to Christ. Each week as you sign up, it'll send you a list of 5 individuals. You can do that daily. You can do that weekly, however you want to set that up to do that. And then once you do that, it'll send those automatically to you to remind you to pray for each one of those individuals. And then also, we want to remind you that on our website, and I may wait for them to get this up because I wanted to share this with you this morning. Let me share with you the Women's Night of Worship. Women's Night of Worship is coming up on April the 11th, and so wanted to remind you of that. It's a great event that our association is doing. Miss Jeannie Davis is going to be coming, and she's going to be sharing that. It's going to be over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. We have some signs that are around in the building, some at that door, some as at this as you came in. So just wanted to remind you of that, that you can get signed up for those things. And then also, there we go. Can you get to the one that has the numbers? There you go. That one. This is what you'll see as you go to our website, HighlandBaptistChurch.com, with the Bless app. We have 881 homes that have been adopted by the individuals who are lights in our community. I think the next slide shows how many we have. We have 24 that have signed up. And so it's a great resource that we have there. We have 1,343 that we've begun to pray for and with. And on the next screen, you'll see a map. This map shows the blue dots are where all of our members attenders live across this area. The ones that are kind of outlined a little bit in orange are those who've committed already to be a light in their community. And so just wanted to remind you to sign up for that app. You can see some of that, the numbers that you saw on the screen on our church website. It updates automatically as you sign up. And so wanted to encourage you with that. We do then have our missionary videos. So let's go ahead and share our missionary video.
I think there's a perception that college students are closed off to the gospel, but when I talk to students, they're just looking for meaning and something to live for, and it's like, we have it. I'm Jordan Adams, I'm a church planter who planted a church in West Lafayette, Indiana, trying to reach Purdue University. There is rapid growth that is happening as far as just college students coming to hear the gospel. And it's because the way they live life, they're going to classes together, they live together. And so the gospel spreads like crazy through these friend groups.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Ellie, and we're sophomores at Purdue University. We met the first day of college. She was my roommate, she was my random roommate. And church has been a big deal for me my whole life.
But I wasn't really into church at all.
So the way that she got invited to church, it was really beautiful, honestly.
You were like, it'll be fun. And then I remember the first worship, Jordan was speaking, and I learned that Jesus was like an actual person, that he knew exactly who I was, and like, I learned that he loved me for who I was, even though everything was broken about me.
It's just really great to watch entire friend groups be changed by Jesus. And now we have more and more college students that are graduating and just going, where's the next church plant? That's where I'm moving. This is the mission of my life. So yeah, it has been more than I imagined. And I imagined quite a bit, but I didn't see this. A movement of the gospel in our country that will change our country through college students.
Amen. So pray about giving towards the Annie Armstrong Easter offering that goes to support those North American missionaries.
People are watching, and prayerfully they'll see Jesus in you. So let's sing that very song, 571. Let others see Jesus in you. Ms. Pat.
While passing through this world of sin and others, your lives of fear, be clean and pure without. Life's a book
I see some little ones that are about to have a fit for this next comment. Children's church will be gathering over on the piano side during this next song. So if you would, please stand and let's sing I Love to Tell the Story, 572.
Y'all to our guest speaker this morning, Alan Rotman. And so he is joining us this afternoon for our teacher training, so don't forget about that, teachers. And if you are also interested in being a teacher and learning a little bit more about Sunday school, we will have lunch right after the service, and he'll be helping us with that as well. But Alan is a national leader who has trained over 70,000 Christian educators and Sunday school directors, teachers, and class leaders. Alan was director of Sunday school and director of strategies and an adult ministry specialist at Lifeway for over 24 years before moving back to the local church. Alan recently retired from Nashville Baptist Church, First Baptist Nashville, where he served as pastor of Christian education and discipleship. So if you would, please give Alan a warm welcome. And Alan, we'd be glad to have you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. So good to be with you. Pastor Jim, thank you so much for sharing your pulpit. It's an honor to stand behind this sacred desk. I don't take that for granted. Matt, thank you for the invitation to work with your teachers and your leaders today. And this morning, we're going to be getting into the Word of God. to see what the Bible says about being a community of faith, doing life together. You recently celebrated 75 years, so you're in your 76th year. Any charter members here? Okay. It's not unusual. I asked that question. Nashville First Baptist Church is a little over 206 years, and I asked that same question there. We have no charter members left, which I'm surprised because some of our members could have been charter members. So let's look at it. It's a, anytime you have a significant celebration, it's always a good time to reflect back on why we do what we do. Why was this church created? Why was this church planted here? Some of you may remember July 1961. Vince Lombardi kicked off the first day of training camp for the 38 players on his Green Bay Packers football team. Now, the prior season had ended in a heartbreaking way as the Green Bay Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, blowing a lead in the fourth quarter and losing the NFL championship game. So in July 1961, when the players came in to start training camp, they expected to immediately begin where they left off, perhaps learning some new plays, perhaps getting to know new team members. Instead, in that very first team meeting, Vince Lombardi had the 38 professional football team players sit down. He held up a football and began the meeting, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He then had the players, professional football players, open up their playbook to page one. And he spent that entire first meeting and second meeting and third meeting going over the fundamentals, how to block, how to tackle, how to throw the football, how to catch, etc. For three team meetings, all he did was go over the fundamentals of football with players at the top of their game. What happened was later that season, the Green Bay Packers won the national championship, and they credit it to the fact of going back to the fundamentals. One thing that I've noticed is that one of the greatest mistakes that churches and leaders across our country make is they get caught up in other things and not focusing on the reason their church exists, to make disciples. So as we begin year 76 as a church, as we get into the Word of God, let's see what the Bible says about being a community of faith and doing life together. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we open your Word, we pray that we might see where you're taking us. We pray, God, that as we get into the Word, that the Word would get into us. Father, that as we dive deeper into your Scripture, that we will see the fundamentals of what it means to be a church focused on making disciples. Father, this morning, we want to focus on you. Work in and through us that we might bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus and that he might be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. We see it's about relationships. The relationships that I have with my Bible study group members, the relationships that you have with your Bible study group members. So what is the mission that God has for this church, for Highland Baptist Church? Well, let's start with why Highland Baptist Church exists. Very simply, to make disciples. That's the equivalent of, "Gentlemen, this is a football." We exist to make disciples. Now, everything that we do needs to be rooted in Scripture. So let's look at Scripture to provide us the text for why our purpose is to make disciples. Let's go to a very familiar passage. Flip over to Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28, and look in verses 18 through 20. And we see the Bible says that Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you to the end of the age." When we look at the Great Commission, it's one of those passages that we know so well. It's one that we're very familiar with. But it's also one that a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, fail to fulfill. As Mark Twain said, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that give me the most trouble. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand." Make disciples. How? Jesus tells us very clearly not only to go and make disciples, but he tells us very simply how. The fundamentals. He says, "Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you." Now, when you look at the word observe, you'll see in the original language a better translation. I'm using the CSB translation. I know oftentimes your pastor will use the ESV, a outstanding translation of the Bible. But both of them would do better, in my humble opinion, if they translated the word observe as do. Teach them to do everything that I've commanded you. Because the original word can be translated that way. So how do you make disciples? Jesus said it's simple. Just have them do what I've already commanded you to do. In fact, go back and look at the word teach. Teaching them to observe. That word that Jesus used was a very specific word. Now, he could have said, "Y'all just do all the stuff I've been talking about." But instead, he very intentionally used the word teach. Teach them to do, or teaching them to do. Now, the word teach in the original language is the word, if you go back to the Hebrew, is the word lamad. And lamad, the very textbook example of the word lamad, means that teaching has not taken place unless those whom you teach practice and apply. This was drilled into me by a rabbi at West End Synagogue in downtown Nashville. I was having difficulty with the Hebrew word. And so one morning, I left my office and the Lifeway headquarters, traveled down Broadway as it became West End, pulled into West End Synagogue, went in, spoke to the secretary. I said, "Hi, I'm a Baptist minister. I'm having trouble with the Hebrew word. Is the rabbi available?" Rabbi means teacher. Now, let me just tell you, you walk in, I don't care if you're a layperson, you just walk in and say you're a Baptist minister, and you tell them you're having trouble with the Hebrew word, well, the teacher comes out. The rabbi came out. He called me in. And one thing that I learned, he said, "Alan, as you're reading the New Testament, especially you're reading the words of Jesus," and Pastor, I found this so interesting coming from a Jewish rabbi, I guess that's redundant, but from a rabbi, that he had a New Testament in his office, and he spoke in our conversation, often spoke about Jesus. He says, "You want to know how to make disciples, you just do what Jesus told you to do." He said it as plain as can be, because anytime something is repeated in Hebrew, it's done so for emphasis. That's because in Hebrew, you can't underline, make in bold print, make in all caps, as we do in English. The way you emphasize something is it's repeated. So think through verses that you know in the Old Testament. From holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. On and on and on. Verily, 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 if you go to King James, I say unto you. Anytime something's repeated, it's done so for emphasis. The rabbi pointed out and said, right here, Jesus is repeating himself. Because he begins by using the word teach, and by the definition, teaching has not taken place unless those whom you teach practice and apply. Now, that's different from our Western mindset. He says, Alan, you're thinking like a Western, like a Westerner, not like a person from the Near East. He said, in the Hebrew mindset, teaching has not occurred until those practice and apply. What you think is simply if you communicate biblical knowledge, then you've taught. But Jesus not only used the word lamad, teach, but then he turned around and said, to observe or to do. Well, that's redundant because if you in fact teach and they practice and apply, then they're already doing. He said Jesus is repeating himself. It's the equivalent as if in this Great Commission passage, he said, this is how you make disciples. He put it in all caps, bold, underlined. He just did it in a Hebrew fashion. So the very basics of what we do on making disciple is rooted in understanding how discipleship happens. Discipleship happens best in the context of relationships. And relationships happen best in the context of groups. Your Bible study group is Highland Baptist Church in microcosm. That's why it's important for every member of this church to be a part of a Bible study group. Your Bible study is Highland Baptist Church organized to achieve the Great Commission. When you join the church, you should be enrolled in a Bible study group. Now, every church that I've served churches in Louisiana and Mississippi and Virginia and Florida and here in Tennessee. In every church I've served, I've had members that say, well, after they've joined, well, I don't want to be a part of a Bible study group. I don't want to be enrolled in a Sunday school class or a Bible study group. Well, my question is, why did you join the church? Because our Bible study groups is our church in microcosm. It's how we accomplish the Great Commission. You know, you can attend worship for free. So let me challenge you, as the outsider who does not know who is engaged in a Bible study group and who is not, if you are not, please consider joining one of the groups here. It's important to accomplish the Great Commission because it's being part of that community. It's where we can be encouraged, taught the Word of God. It's where evangelism takes place, where ministry and caring takes place. It's where you engage in missional living. It's where the church is about relationships and doing life together. It's about moving people forward in their faith. As a Sunday school teacher for the 24 years I was at Lifeway, I was a layperson. So I went from being an associate pastor, minister of education on church staff, to being a layperson. So for 24 years, I was a layperson. I taught Sunday school. And one of the questions I would ask myself is, how can I tell if the adults in my Sunday school class are maturing in their faith, that they're moving forward in their faith? Something tells me, I bet you adult teachers here asked yourself the same question. Well, let's think of it in this way. Now, there's an invisible line that is up here. Matt and I came in and installed it early this morning, but don't worry, I'm going to take it down before I leave. It's an invisible line, and I need you to see the invisible line. It's really a continuum, and if you don't see the invisible line, you'll never see it. Because on this continuum over here, and by the way, on this continuum sits everybody in their spiritual walk. On this side of the continuum are people who are far from God. We may call them lost people. We may call them unsaved. I have a neighbor who is unsaved, and every time that I shared Christ with him, his response is, Alan, that's well, fine, and good for you and your family. That's not for me. So you have people at this end of the continuum. On the other end of the continuum, on this far end of the invisible line, are people that are very, very mature in their walk with Christ. And so everybody is somewhere on this continuum, from lost to very mature in their faith. So the key question for you to consider today is, where are you on this walk? Where are you on this line? And here's what I want you to do without saying a word. And spouses, please do not elbow your spouse if they're sitting by there. I want you to look at this invisible line, and I want you to place yourself on this continuum. I want you to place yourself on that line, and I want you to hold it right there. Don't say a word. Don't point. But place yourself on this line right now. You got it? Hold it. Hold it. And please, I don't want to hear you look at your spouse and say, "You got to be kidding me." Okay, now here's the question. Wherever you put yourself, wherever you place yourself on this continuum, as God is working in you and through you, because the only way you move forward in your faith is God working in you and through you, as God does that, what's it going to take for Him to move you from where you are two clicks this way? Dink, dink. And that's what your Bible study group helps you with and challenges you with. It's where you can grapple with spiritual truths. It's where you can ask questions. It's where you're encouraged. It's how we mature in the faith that gets us ready. It's how we make disciples. So what is the purpose of the church is to make disciples? Your next question that I know you're thinking of, well, okay, Alan, that's well, fine, and good. What's your definition of a disciple? It's not a perfect one, but my definition of a disciple and the dream that I have for my current Sunday school class members is that for the members of my group to be transformed in Christ's likeness so that they think and act like Christ. Let me say that again. A disciple is a person in the process of being transformed into Christ's likeness so that they think and act like Christ. That every day there's more of Christ within them and less of you, me. So how do we go about doing this at this church for this calling? Well, turn to your bulletin. Open up your bulletin. Everything's in the bulletin, by the way. Have y'all figured that out? Look on the front page of your bulletin. Right here, you have a four-step formula. And when the pastor and I talked, and we talked about this message, I immediately went to your church website to sort of see what all was going on. And this four-step process is right there. Connect. Grow, serve, go. So you have a strategy for what it takes to make disciples. So let's drill down and look from a biblical perspective on how we use this strategy to make disciples in and through Highland Baptist Church. The first one is to connect. That is to connect with God and connect with others. Flip over to Mark chapter 12. Now you were just at the end of Matthew, so it's not too far. Mark chapter 12, looking in verses 29 to 31. As you're flipping there, we'll see in Mark 11 and 12 that there's a number of religious leaders of the day trying to trap Jesus by his teaching. Here we see a scribe approach and ask in verse 28, which command is the most important of all? And here's what we see in our Lord's response. This is the most important, Jesus answered. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So some questions for you to consider and only for you to consider and answer is, how are you connecting with God? How are you connecting with other believers? Are you in the Word on a daily basis? According to Lifeway Research, as they interviewed several thousand individuals, a leading indicator of someone who is progressing in their faith is that they are consistently in the Word of God. So are you faithful in worship? Are you faithful participating in worship? Do you pray? And are you a part of a community and a Bible study group? Are you connecting with God and connecting with others? The second step was grow. You see it right there in the front of your bulletin. Connect, grow. Grow in body, mind, and spirit. Flip on over to what we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We see over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So are you growing in your relationship with Christ? Do you study your personal study guide to get ready each week? Do you avail yourselves of the various disciple-making opportunities that Highland Baptist Church offers? Are you seeking to intentionally move forward in your faith? One key is that your Bible study group can help you grow in the grace of His Word and in Christ and push you to move forward in your faith. Bible study through your group allows you to grapple with those spiritual truths and come to understand the impact that Christ can have on your life. We look at connect, we look at grow. Let's look at serve. Serve with willing hands. Flip on over, keep going in that direction. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Here the Bible says, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's word. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So key questions to consider. Are you serving in and through your Bible study group? Are you serving in and through Highland Baptist Church? Are you doing something for the kingdom of God? Your Bible study group provides a place for you to invest yourself and express your spiritual gift in and through the group and in and through Highland Baptist Church. Because every believer has a spiritual gift. Growing and serving really go hand in hand. So are you growing and maturing in your walk with Christ? And are you ready to move out, perhaps even to a new teaching position? Because as the church reaches more people, as our student ministry grows, as our preschool and children's ministry grows, there's only one place for teachers, for our preschoolers, our children, our students to come from. They either have to come from my Bible study group or yours. And mine's a little far to drive. So what are you doing for the kingdom of God in and through this church? Look for places that you can serve. There's a new metric that I was working with when I was at Lifeway and director of Sunday school and small groups, and that was adding a different metric. We have all kinds of metrics. Some of you may have heard of the annual church profile. That's a document that your church provides every year to the association. It rolls up to the state convention, then on to the SBC. And it has a lot of metrics that we record: enrollment, attendance, those sort of things. And those are important. But I challenged the group to institute a new metric. How many people come out of existing Bible study groups to serve in other areas of the church? Because I think that is an indicator of a healthy church when people leave a class to go and teach somewhere else, to start a new adult class, or to teach in preschool children or students. Growing and serving. And then there was go. Connect, grow, serve, go. It's right there on your bulletin. It's on your website. It's a four-step strategy on how you will go about as a church making disciples. And go with ready feet. We circle back to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. So we're going to flip back the other direction to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So are you intentionally building relationships with people in your circle of influence with the goal of sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? Now, one neat thing about Bible study groups is they are great places to invite unbelievers, especially fellowships. Fellowships that are associate with a Bible study group. You know, I encouraged my class, and we have them three or four times a year, fellowships outside of the church, away from the church. And because it's a lot easier just to invite people, especially people that are not engaged in church. And one thing that I hear over and over from lost friends is, wow, these are some pretty cool people. How often do y'all meet? And they're sort of shocked when they say, well, actually, we get together every week. Sometimes it's on Sunday morning. And so that's an opportunity to go to be on mission from the Great Commission. Now, there needs to be a balance in your Bible study groups between biblical community and biblical content. And that's always a struggle that we have. So the biblical community, that's really the highlight of your Sunday morning groups, your Bible study groups. Biblical content is where you can really drill down in those discipleship groups, those things that happen a lot of times on Wednesday nights and at other times. So we see an example of that in the scripture on how we go about drilling down into this balance between biblical community and biblical content. So let's get over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to see this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We see the Bible tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, this is the early church, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now, all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So here we see believers who devoted themselves to these four practices. The first study practice was that they were dedicated to the apostles' teaching. Bible teaching is at the core of our Bible study groups. Prayer request and fellowship is important. In fact, we're going to see that as part of the steps. But nothing should overshadow a time of Bible study. We see the second Bible study group practice was fellowship. The Greek word koinonia has many meanings, but communion or close relationships with somebody are the most common. So it's important that we recognize that we need that fellowship. As new members come into Highland Baptist Church, it's important that they make friends. In fact, research indicates that a new member needs 7 close friends within the first 6 months for them to get heart deep in a church. So that happens best in the context of relationships that are built in Bible study groups. So are your groups open? Are they open to new people? The third Bible study group practice is the breaking of bread. So we do have a biblical mandate for coffee and donuts. So it's there. But this early church, it probably meant a common meal, maybe doing the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper, communion after that. But there needs to be fellowship time. And also doing life together outside of the church. That's important. The fourth Bible study group practice is prayer. It's important that your members of your group pray for each other daily. Pray and encourage one another. And then we see in verse 44, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Believers voluntarily met the needs of others in their group. So in Acts chapter 2, we have a picture of a Bible study group functioning as it should. So what will it take for your group to be an Acts 2 Bible study group. Maybe today, in these few minutes, you've recognized that you've been connecting and growing, but not doing a whole lot of serving. And I know some of you may go, well, and you don't understand. There are reasons maybe why God couldn't use me. I get that. I understand. But you're in good company. When we look at the Bible, we see that Moses stuttered, that David's armor didn't fit. We see that John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos only had training in the school of fig tree training. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was, well, he was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? Well, so did Peter. So did Paul. A lot of them did. So you think God can't use me? Oh, yes, He can. Now, I know Satan, he's talking to you, and he's saying, you're not worthy. But Jesus says, so what? I am. Satan looks back and sees your mistakes and your shortcomings. God looks back and sees the cross. Sure, there are lots of reasons why God can't use you or me. But if you love Him with all your heart, if you hunger for Him more than your next breath, then He'll use you in spite of who you are, where you've been, what you look like, and pray that we will step out of our limitations into the unlimitable nature of who God is. We've talked this morning about connecting with God. We've talked about connecting with others. We've talked about reaching a place where you have surrendered your will to that of the Father. Is that something that you've accomplished? The greatest relationship, when we're talking about connecting with God and connecting with others, the greatest relationship of all is the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. The altar is now open. Perhaps you want to connect with others. You want to unite with other believers here at Highland Baptist Church and work together, hearts together, doing kingdom work together in and through your group and in and through Highland Baptist Church. The altar is open for you as well. Pastor, come lead our invitation.
Let's go to the Lord. Thank you.
to share our announcements. Let me give you two quick announcements as Brother Ben is coming. We have a couple of service needs, some areas you can help serve in. Had a call from a lady this morning who is disabled, who's needing some help packing up some things from her home. If you would be interested in helping with her, it's any time this week that can help. Please come and see me. I'll be down here at the front. We also have a church member who lives close by who's needing some help moving a piano out. We need about four guys who can. It's already in its place, ready to be moved out on a trailer. But if you could help just for a few minutes to move that, please see Brother Mark Smith at the end of the service here as you dismiss. So those two service opportunities, one helping a disabled lady pack up some things to move, and then also right after the service helping to move this piano.
Good morning. A couple of things. First, on April 11th at 10 a.m. is our Highland Women's Painting event. It will be taught by Penny Oliver with the Penny Patch. It's $40 per person and all skill levels are welcome. So if you'd like to do that, please sign up either out on the bulletin board or you can do that through the Facebook event page. Either way is fine. Also, please invite your friends and family. The more ladies we have to fellowship with, the better. And then on April 19th at 3 p.m., we will be having our next VBS training in the fellowship hall. We will be having Gary Irvin come and speak. He is the children's pastor at Grace. So please make efforts to attend those things. Thank you.
Sounds like she's brought up some opportunities that Alan was talking about. A couple announcements, just two. The prime timers, this week you'll be meeting in the ministry center. The bathrooms are fixed. The deacons, we're going to meet by the 5 minutes after the service by the piano. Now, things to prayerfully consider. Suzanne Barton, of course, she's still in the hospital. She is sitting up. She's starting maybe to eat. We're going to try that tomorrow and eventually step her down either today or sometime soon, but still keep Susie and Ed in your prayers. Praise the Lord that Tommy's home, Tommy Griffin, but still keep him and Brenda in your prayers. And then Brother Roger, he's having knee replacement surgery Tuesday, so please keep him in your prayers and especially Kay because she has to deal with it after that. Aside from that, is if there's anything else? Anybody have announcements? And we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the warm weather. We're reminded as we're seeing, starting to see the flowers, of this beautiful world, this universe, this galaxy that you've created for us. We just are in awe of your creation. We're in awe that you've given us all this. We're very, very grateful that you've given us each other. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us, to be with our fellowship among those here in this church. We especially pray for those we haven't met yet that we're going to go and connect with and make disciples. Forgive us for when we do fail this, and help us to be steadfast in your love. And we thank you so much for your grace. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.